You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the great things about March Madness is you have an off day and you lose. And you can't lose sight of the – I don't even know what our record was. You can't lose sight of that. You know, you can't lose sight of the Big Ten championship. You can't lose sight of the 19 games we won against Big Ten opponents. You can't lose sight of the growth that this team made through the season. But, you know, I'll remember this very, very fondly, this group as a team that really continued to take the next step and in our progress of building. And I think we brought Illinois back, and it's been a resurrection of sorts, and great challenge. And this team has achieved a great deal.
Well, that's a way to end, but that's the beauty and the cruelty of March Madness as Illinois falls in the second round. Don't even get to the Sweet 16. One of the best seasons, one of the best teams in more than a decade for Illinois basketball is out as Loyola Chicago has a masterpiece of a performance, 71-58. Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. I don't know how many people are actually going to be listening to this one because it's a tough loss to relive. And I went to my guy again, and sorry to do it, Mike LaTulip, after the bone-crushing loss that this is. But this was a stinker of a performance, obviously, for Illinois in a single elimination tournament. You can't have those, especially against a good team that, whether you think they're underseeded or not, you were playing a good team regardless of who you played here. I want to ask you about what Porter Moser did, what Illinois did not do in this game. But you've been in a locker room after that kind of loss, and maybe not as a number one seed, but after an NCAA tournament loss. I know so many Illini fans just feel awful right now and feel incomplete, but they're not players. They're not coaches. What do you think that locker room was like?
I think you make a good point. I think, you know, and as fans, you know, you have a right to be disappointed. Yeah, and you have a right to you're entitled to your own opinion. And that's your prerogative. And I think the one distinction I'll always make is as long as it doesn't get into the EJ Liddell type stuff, you know, heck yeah, you can be pissed off about it. You know, you can be upset, you can be disappointed, but I can guarantee you that whatever emotions you're feeling right now don't hold a candle to what Trent Frazier's feeling and Io and Damonte and Kofi all the way down the line. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's managers that I'm sure are extremely torn up about it. The coaches, I mean, I don't want to just go say, hey, this is March, because when you look at the matchup, and that's what this tournament is, it's all matchups. You know, you and I were kind of exchanging tweets on Twitter. You know, Villanova comes off a national championship in 2016. And then they get Wisconsin in the second round, who still had Nigel Hayes, who still had, you know, I believe they still had Bronson Koenig. I mean, it was a good team that beat Xavier in that first round, you know, and then is able to win against Villanova in the second round. And it's the same thing. They bog down the game. You know, they force you to play out of your comfort zone. They force you to make adjustments on the fly. They force you to get sped up. And I thought that, you know, that ended up being the story, but to tie it back to get back to, you know, the initial starting point that I'll make here is Brad Underwood is more qualified than is 100 times more qualified than me, 100 times more qualified than you, 100 times more qualified than any fan that is listening to this when it comes to making decisions for Illinois basketball. I tweet out some of my thoughts during the game, and everybody becomes becomes an analyst and becomes a coach in these moments. Well, he's got to do this or he's got to do that. It's what makes what Loyola does. It's the reason why they won 18 out of 19. It's the reason why they've been to a Final Four. And the difference is you have guys that play that style. You have teams that play that style. Loyola isn't the only team in America that plays that style. They just care more about playing that style. You can have guys that say, I'm playing it, you know, certain XYZ school, and yeah, we play this style, but I'd love to play like Gonzaga. Man, I'd love to get up and down. I'd love to run. I'll do this because it works for us. We win games, but man, I'd love to play like that. And I said it on Twitter. Loyola leans into playing like this. They embrace it. It's how they win. And there was going to be that initial shock of, man, this is different. This is different. They're everywhere. It feels like there's 8 Loyola defenders. And it sped them up. It sped up the passes they made. It felt like Trent and Adam Miller like were dribbling themselves to the ground at times. Like they were falling. And then Curbelo obviously was kind of the Curbelo that we fear from time to time. Not just being able to split the defense. That's just not, you know, Loyola wants that. They welcome that. And we can dive into the nuts and bolts like we always do, but I'll always go back to just really feeling for those guys. Cause whether you're a number one seed or a 16 seed or, you know, it's the NIT, it doesn't matter. Like when your season comes to an end, it sucks. And whether that's,
especially this season, right?
Everything
they went through.
Yeah. I mean, I think you look at the expectations and that's a lot. Like that's a lot for teams to handle. And it doesn't like this, the rise of Illinois basketball over the last few years, you know, I don't want to say overnight, but damn near. And when you get on this stage with guys that have not played in the NCAA tournament, that have not felt that, you know, one and done pressure. Yeah. They just won the Big Ten tournament, but that's different. Your ticket's punched. Whether you get bounced or you win it, you know, that ticket is punched. So
how much do you think that mattered, Mike? Because I texted you before we started this, like Porter, Lucas Williamson, who outplayed Io DeSumo today, Cameron Crutwig, who outplayed Kofi Coburn today. Those guys look like they've been there and done that before. And Illinois didn't. And there were parts of the first game, right, where Illinois looked a little sluggish, but then they're just too much better than Drexel. How much do you think not playing on this type of stage, being tested by this type of team, affected them today?
It matters. It matters a lot. And not only just the players on the court. You mentioned Porter Moser, but, you know, Valentine and those guys that are on staff, the assistants, Clayton Custer's back on that bench. A lot of guys, like, they've been there. They've done that. They know how to get from weekend to weekend. And they play that way. And they're so skilled defensively. And it raises the level of everyone's play. Like, when you can look at a guy, honestly, and be like, I'm looking at Cameron Crutwig. I'm looking him dead in the eyes. He's a guy that's been there. And it didn't matter. I truly believe if Illinois got out of the gates to a 10-2 lead, that Loyola wouldn't have flinched. Like, it's just kind of who they are. And credit Porter Moser. Like, for first things first, they ran, you know, they went single-single into a dribble handoff, forcing Kofi to have to make a decision. Are you going to pressure and give up a pull-up, or are you going to lay off? And, he got caught in no man's land time and time again. And great coaches, it doesn't have to be some crazy game plan. I think what makes a great coach is saying, no, this works. Let's keep it simple, and we're going to keep doing it. And that's what Porter Moser did. And it's the reason why I think either Loyola is going to say, here's as much money as we can give you in an 8 to 10 year contract, or someone's going to back up the Brinks truck for him. He's that good. I mean, he's a guy, he recruited me out of high school, and I really wanted to play for that guy. They happened to offer another point guard. But I really wanted to play for that guy. Just his energy and what he brings to the table, just from a confidence standpoint, you can tell that defense, they play with it's like a defensive confidence. Everyone's in the right spot. There's no guessing. And that's what I thought Illinois was doing. Illinois defensively was guessing. And time and time again, you saw 4 seconds left, 3 seconds left on the shot clock. And I think I tweeted it before the game. You have to be engaged the entire shot clock, because you're going to think, oh, 4 or 3 seconds left, let me get a contest. That's a foul 3 or 4 times. And those are backbreakers, man. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just, it was too much to overcome. And you could say, oh, adjustments this, adjustments that. They played harder. They cared more. They wanted it more. And it's crazy to say that, but, yeah, you know, for a team that's been there, to come out like that and just say, hey, you know, we've sniffed a Final Four before, and we want it again. And Loyola played like it.
What did Porter and Loyola do defensively that bothered Io DeSumo so much? Was it just Lucas Williamson playing outstanding defense? And, you know, Kofi ended up with 21-9, but I think you and I know, Mike, a lot of that came when the game was already seemingly decided. So what did they do so well against those stars? And then obviously the role players, because outside of Miller and Curbelo, DeSumo and Coburn, nobody got more than one field goal.
Yeah, I think schematically, their plan was obviously to get the ball out of Io and Curbelo's hands. That was the plan. It was a very similar plan that we had with Shane Larkin when we played in the NCAA tournament in the round of 32. And we said, you know what? We're going to get it out of his hands. And the one guy we're going to leave at times is going to be Ryan Brown, who ended up hitting 5 threes on us. And you live with that. Ryan Brown was, I think, 6 a game. And you take away, you know, as long as you're getting it out of the best player's hands. But I thought at times, you try too much to get around the second defender instead of standing in there, picking it up, surveying, you know. But part of that is off the ball movement. Like, there has to be guys coming back to the ball. There were too many times that in between the 3-point line and half court, Io retreats, he picks up his dribble, Kofi, Georgie are rolling all the way to the basket. There's no safety valve. Guys are in the corner. And what do you do? Like, it's so hard to make those passes. So I don't want to put it on Io. There were a couple times he was loose with the ball. I thought he struggled at times when they forced him going left. And that was clearly their game plan. And quite honestly, I think they thought if the ball gets thrown into Kofi all game, that the way they defended it, I don't think they thought that would beat them. I think they thought if guys get going from the perimeter, if Trent Frazier gets going, we're obviously going to get the ball out of Io's hands. And you know what? Trent was 1 for 10. I think that's kind of the X factor. Trent can play his normal game. But there were a couple, he rushed a lot. Yep. He came down and just off no passes, pulled up from 18 feet. And if you're Loyola, you're clapping. I mean, that's a win. So I thought what they were able to do was be in gaps. And when you're in gaps, every on the ball defender becomes a better defender. Braden Norris, it's so easy to say, let's target the short white guy. But he's a good defender. Mm-hmm. Like, Braden Norris is a great defender. And what makes him so great is when you have guys in the gaps, he doesn't have to be, you know, 100 out of 100 on the defensive end. He can make a few mistakes and still recover. And Tate Hall's the same way. Tate Hall, you're like, here's the bigger kind of stretch the floor white guy. Let's deck. He's a great defender too. They all are. Kennedy would be the best defender on a lot of Big Ten teams. Williamson, the same thing. Those are like all Big Ten type defensive players. And what makes them so dangerous is on the flip side, they're pretty dang good offensively. There's too many teams that play a certain style defensively to compensate for what they lack offensively. And that's why Loyola is who they are. They have guys that are willing to buy in like that on the defensive end, and on the offensive end, they're no slouch. They'll make you guard every single time down the floor. I remember the Lucas Williamson three from the right wing on the fast break in the first half. I was like, I was shocked. I was like, whoa, why'd he take that shot? Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, Illinois gets the rebound and you're kind of like, all right, if they're going to shoot those kind of shots, we may have a chance. And that was the one shot I thought all game was like, yeah, it was kind of ill-advised. They just don't beat themselves. And I thought that was kind of a microcosm today in the story of the game, where they clearly had a game plan. They wanted to take Io out of it, you know, and they wanted to make him guard. And I'll say this, I have the most respect for Io DeSumo, what he's done for this program. And, you know, you could sit there and say, there's a difference between the word, like the word exposed is something for me that I don't take lightly, because I think when you use the word exposed, it's a, you're exposing who you truly are.
Right.
And that's not the case with Io DeSumo. I thought there were a couple times where he got backdoored. He was standing straight up on defense. Io DeSumo was capable of being a great defender. But so much was being exerted offensively just for him to get out of a trap. That I thought he took a few plays off defensively, and this is a Loyola team that'll make you pay for that.
Mike, I know we can, you know, armchair quarterback this thing as a coach, but as Brad Underwood and his staff kind of evaluate themselves, what do you think they'll go back and say, yeah, if we would have done this thing or this thing, maybe we would have had a chance?
Yeah, and I always preface these kinds of things by saying, I know Brad Underwood and that staff is doing everything they can and put together a game plan that they think gives themselves the best chance to win the game. The issue is Cameron Krohg, that's a tough dude to defend. And when you have the personnel that you have, I really, like, you can sit there and give every, you know, hey, maybe we switch these handoffs. Maybe we switch, you know, the dribble handoff. I don't know. But the thing with Cameron Krohg is he's a threat, whether you can't really, if you're Kofi, you can't really chest to chest him on the perimeter, because he's savvy enough to get around you. He works those pivots, so he'll put you in foul trouble. But then if you lay off of him like you did today, it's like giving Peyton Manning just a clean pocket. You know, it's like, and it's just letting him dissect you. And that's really what happened. I thought that was the story of the game. You know, it was truly no pressure in the backfield. You know, for a guy like Cameron Crowe, when you can give him clean angles to make backdoor passes, to go into those handoffs, and then when you have when he's already being laid off of, he just gives one handoff, and the guy who's coming off is wide open. If Cameron Krohg, who's a big body, lays wood, that guy coming off is wide open. And if you're Kofi, you're a team guy, right? And you don't want to just let that guy shoot just a uncontested pull up. So you're gonna want to go contest that. You're gonna want to commit to it. And I thought too many times, I don't want to blame this on all on Kofi, because there were, and this is partly designed by Porter Moser, but there just was no backside help ever. And when I say backside help, I'm saying, you know, the two handoffs, or the handoff was happening with two other players on that side of the court. After those handoffs happen, you cannot stay glued to your guy. Mm-hmm. You have to move with the ball. And if you move with the ball, then when Cameron Krohg sets that handoff, you can bump him. You know, you can bump him when he's rolling to the rim. There were too many times he just was, you know, could gather his feet. That's another thing where you look at, and I know I'll go off on a tangent here, but when you look at a guy like Cameron Krohg, who is strong, not the best athlete, but if you can nudge him to where he can't get a full gather to rise up for those kind of alley-oop tip-ins or alley-oop layups, that makes a huge difference. And it's like what Steven Adams talks about when you're defending Zion Williamson. Let me preface this by saying I'm not saying that Zion Williamson and Cameron Krohg are the same players.
Right.
But the point remains, where if you can beat Zion Williamson or Cameron Krohg to their gather step, it becomes really hard. You throw all the timing off. And all that is a simple tag from that ball side corner to alleviate that pressure. There's two ways you can alleviate pressure on Kofi Coburn. One is getting through the screen. You get through the screen. I even thought there were opportunities to go under the dribble handoff. You know, Cameron Krohg's such a big body. where if you at least go under a dribble handoff, you can cut the guy off. You can get back to the spot and alleviate that pressure for Kofi. But on the backside, there has to be a tag. There has to be a tag. There has to be a sink and fill. And we all know Kofi loves to go block those shots off the dribble handoffs. So if there's no one coming down to block out, it makes it virtually impossible with a guy as smart and savvy and with great touch as Cameron Krutwig. It's hard to stop.
All right, Mike, I want to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about just the finality of this season and looking ahead to sure. next season. We'll do that next.
Sure.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Mike. This is tough to take for this team, as we talked about. A number one seed that had as high as expectations as any for a generation, really, of Illini fans, but you know, the first since 2005 to get a number one seed. Io's gone. He's going to be likely a first-round pick in the NBA draft. You mentioned it. I don't think this game defines him, though. I think Lucas Williamson did some things that obviously don't help Io's draft stock, because he's going to be facing those kind of guys a lot in the NBA. What do you think this offseason, this draft process, will be like for Io, and how high ultimately do you think he goes?
Yeah, I think he's still a first-round pick. You've seen – it's recency bias for a lot of people to say – that's your National Player of the Year candidate.
You got those too, huh?
Oh, man. Yeah. So, you know, when you look at Io, it's, you know, front offices, NBA front offices aren't stupid. You know, you look at full body of work. And I think the misconception is that, you know, and this is a misconception for players too. You know, players say, and there's a selfishness about it. There's plenty of players around college basketball that think that what they do their senior year or their last year before they go to the NBA, before they go play professionally, what they do, the numbers they put up, it's ultimately going to affect whether or not they get drafted or whether or not they play in the NBA. And it couldn't be further from the truth. Do you want to have all those great numbers and accolades? Yeah, of course. But when you look at the process itself, I mean, let me take you through this. You know, it's not like the NBA draft is in 3 weeks and this is the last thing that, you know, NBA front office have to see of Io. Because there's going to be, you know, there's the end of the season, and then there's NBA workouts, there's pre-draft workouts, there's pre-draft interviews, there is, you know, then we'll see if there's summer, we'll see if there's summer league. But like once the draft happens, there's so many steps to get to that point where it's not just, hey, season's over, all right, let's roll the dice to see what we draft here. I think I was still a first round pick. I wouldn't be surprised to see him go from the – I think he'll end up in the 15 to 25 range, which I think benefits him. I think if he ends up – I think he can be a really, really good guy, and there's a lot of value in a dude who is a team guy, who's mature like Io is, who will do whatever it takes to win, being, you know, a late first-round pick on a contender or at least a playoff team. Because when you look at the 9th, 10th, 11th guy on an NBA roster, if you are a problem, you are not – on the team, period. Like, it doesn't matter. Kevin Porter Jr., I know he's back in the league, but he was a 30th pick in the draft for the Cavs. You know, he ended up being the 8th, 9th, 10th guy, couldn't stay out of trouble. They don't, like, the NBA doesn't put up with that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes Io so much more marketable and so much more valuable for an NBA team is, hey, you know what? Whether we play Io 20 minutes a night or 8 minutes a night, we know what we're going to get out of Io. He's going to play hard. You know, he's going to do the right thing. He's going to make the tough plays. He's going to, you know, that's just who he is. And I know it's hard to see that after the performance that he had today, but the full body of work suggests that, period. Like, it just does. And I think when he hears his name called on draft night, it's going to be a really cool moment for him. It's going to be a really cool moment for his family. It's going to be a really cool moment for the University of Illinois, because there hasn't been one since Myers. And that means something in recruiting, you know, for all those guys to say, for a coaching staff to definitively say, here is Io DeSumo. He stayed home. He, you know, he built this program up on the court, in the locker room, and he's getting reward for it by being a first round pick in the NBA draft. And that speaks volumes. You know, and I think the culture and the type of mentality that he has had is something that I think not only just propelled this team to have the year that they had, but it's something that a lot of guys in that team can look and build off of for these years going forward.
I think the biggest question of the offseason is whether Kofi Coburn returns, right? If he returns, I think this is a Big Ten title contender again, based on what you have. And he's just such a big difference maker. Didn't have a great game, even though he had 21-9. But we know how good he is. What do you think his process will be like, Mike? And I know there's obviously big financial considerations for him and his family, whether it's NBA or going overseas or G League or whatever he wants to do. But what do you think? What do you think he should do?
I can give you my selfish answer.
Sure.
But I'll start by saying, you know, Kofi's going to enter his name. There's no question about it. You know, he's going to go through the process. And I think if he gets any type of, I'm not saying a promise, but if he gets an inkling that there's some, I'm even saying early second round interest, you got to go. You got to go. It means something different, you know, than it did before 2017 with these two-way contracts. I think he's a prime guy. You look at Justin Patton, you look at a lot of these guys, these bigs who, you know, heard their name called on draft night, but, you know, have kind of carved out some roles for them by being two-way guys. You know, I think Kofi's really, he's scratching the surface on what he can do as a basketball player. And don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean that Kofi's going to become Brook Lopez.
Right.
You know, that's not what that means. But there are certain aspects of his game that can become more polished. If today is in any indication, the NBA is ball screen defense. It is. And if you're an NBA guy and you're watching that, that may be your biggest concern. It's not, people look, they're like, oh, well, the game's changed. You know, he doesn't shoot threes. He's a traditional big man. It's like, no, that still works. That still works in the NBA. If you can work around it, if you have guys that can, you know, if Kofi can be a defensive threat and a lob threat, there's plenty of spots in the NBA for guys like that. You know, and I think the biggest question mark for him is going to be that ball screen defense. Cause that's, I mean, you talk about Braden Norris and Clemens. How about Damian Lillard and Steph Curry? It's just a different type of, it's just a whole nother ball game on that level. And I think that's going to be the biggest question mark for him. And, you know, I think Kofi's a very self-aware guy. I don't think this is going to be an ego decision. Like, I want to leave just because I want to say that I'm entering my name. I think there could be a chance. I don't think it's 90-10% or like 90%, 10%. I don't even think it's 75-25. I think it is probably 55-45, maybe 60-40 that he's gone. But there is still a good chance that he comes back to Champaign. And when he does, you're right back almost in the position you were, where you say, hey, we'll be competing for a Big Ten title, not only just Big Ten tournament championship, but Big Ten regular season. Andre Curbelo gets another year, not only under his belt, but in the weight room. you know, and working with Fletch and having a full real off season as opposed to, hey, COVID show up in July or whenever they did. So there's a lot that this team can do to take that step forward. But I think some of the recruits that they have coming in are guys that can really stretch the floor. I thought throughout the, you know, throughout the season, their 39, 40% three-point shooting was kind of a bit of a misnomer. They just didn't take many. And
they're not a very long team, Mike.
No.
Like, I think that hurt them today because Loyola's got Lucas Williamson's really long. Their foreman, I can't pronounce his name, is really long. I think that bothered them, especially on the wing. So, you know, obviously Trent Frazier, Demonte Williams could move on here and maybe they decide to come back, but I think it's important for them to get longer out on the perimeter there where Grandison's more of a three man, right, than a foreman.
Yeah, I think too, if you can swing it to where you move Grandison to the three next year, because quite honestly, no matter who you bring in, I think he's an important piece. And I think he should be a no-brainer starter next year. I'm assuming they'll probably hit the transfer. Like if you can hit the transfer portal and find is it Trey Schmidt? Is that his name? Who's the dude from who's the dude from UMass?
Oh, Trey Mitchell. Yeah.
Yeah. Trey Mitchell. Is that his
yeah.
Name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Trey Mitchell is a perfect example of maybe like you get him in there as a four man with some length. Like there's guys out there that you can bring in that just have a little more length to them. I've said it all year. It's so funny, but I think if EJ Liddell is, and so it's so easy to say this, but EJ Liddell is like the four man that Illinois, like you need. He's got the length, inside, outside. He can defend. Like if EJ Liddell is an Illini with the construction that this team had, I mean, they're a no-brainer, probably like a no-brainer national title pick. But yeah, I think as you look into this offseason, it's how can we bolster our perimeter shooting? How can we bolster our length? And who's going to step up from a leadership standpoint? Easy to say that. It's easy to just say, boom, it's Andre Curbelo. But this was a lot of leadership by committee this year with a lot of different guys providing leadership in different ways. And with Trent, if Trent, Demonte, and Io all leave, like that's a big void to fill. So, you know, this is kind of what makes it fun. Yeah. You know, it wasn't fun when the buzzer sounded, this game. But if Illinois pulls that game out, you know, it's all these games and how this goes down and year to year, it's all just part of like this journey, which kind of makes it in a sickening way really cool. Just to say, you know what? Hey, here are how the chips are what they are. What can you make of it? Virginia. I think about that locker room.
Yep.
I'm not even talking about this Ohio one. I'm talking about UMBC. I mean, you're the laughing stock for a whole year, 2 years really, or I guess really a whole year until you win the national title. And you think about how those games went with Virginia. If Kyle Guy doesn't get fouled on a three, they're getting bounced from the Final Four. They don't even win a national title. So it's funny to be able to look, and I come on these podcasts and like, I don't have notes. It's just a mind dump. And I appreciate you letting me talk through this.
No, your mind dumps are good, man. It's good data.
But it's fun. It's just fun's the wrong word, but
it is a journey, though. I get what
journey.
You're,
it is.
I get what you're saying, and this is part of a journey that no one wanted. That no one wanted. But it's how do you respond to it, and how do you respond to it without the guy who got you here, right? Is Io, who saved you so many times, just didn't have another one left in him where he could save you? Like he actually failed, and Io came on in the post game presser, Mike, and you'll go back, and I don't know if you saw some of the tweets, but he's like, I'm gonna get better from this. Illinois is gonna get better from this. And like LeBron failed and Michael Jordan failed, like all these people, they had to have failures to learn from them. And I think Virginia is a great example of that. Is those guys took it and got better. Now how does Illinois do it? How does Andre Curbelo do it? How does Adam Miller go from role player to potential leading scorer. If Kofi's not back, like he could be one of their top guys next year. How does that experience shape them moving forward? You know, for Brad Underwood and his staff, it's going to be pretty motivating. The talent, obviously, you must replenish. But I do think the good news is you feel like you got a pretty good talent base there, and at least you've risen the expectations here of Illinois. It's just in this single elimination tournament, man, it's cruel. It's really cruel about how such a great season will forever be marred by this, right? By one really bad game.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I look back at, you know, the 12 win season not too long ago. And it's, I'm not saying those seasons are easy, because they're not, but when you compare them to being a one seed, having expectations, being on the national stage, you know, Seth Davis and Clark Kellogg in the studio, oh yeah, they'll win this game. You know, we got Illinois in the national championship, like all that. When you're a 12 win team, the day to day sucks. You know, the day to day sucks. It's you know, the fan base is negative, but like, you know how it is. Season ends, and it's just like, oh man, next year though, we're gonna be
Io's coming.
Io's coming, and you know, we got this guy coming in, and oh, just wait. And this is different. This is different. It's a growing experience for players. It's a growing experience for fans. You know, it's I mean, look at that 2005 team. You know, you make it past round after round, but if that team bowed out in the round of 32, we're comparing this Illinois team to the 89 team, like
it's the Elite Eight. I mean, what if they didn't have the greatest comeback ever? Like, if they would have lost that game, which they should have, right? They really
absolutely
should have.
D always tells a story. D always tells a story of he's sitting on the bench at the under four media, and I think it was like two or three guys are carrying these boxes of regional champ jerseys to the Arizona bench, like to put behind the Arizona bench. And it just goes to show you, man, you're never out of it in this tournament, but if you consistently don't bring it in a game, possession after possession, like I said, man, it's this game, even with 7 minutes left, I'm a very optimistic person. With 7 minutes left, I was like, this is a wrap.
Yep.
Like, it's a wrap. There's nothing that has been shown at this point that can make you optimistic.
Yeah, like Mike, just to take you behind the curtain, like I write my quick hits and I'm writing throughout the game, so I have it ready to post. And usually like I have like two stories going at once in case it goes either way. I deleted with about 10 minutes left. I deleted it and I said, they ain't winning this game. Nope. I just, Loyola's playing too well and Illinois has not responded. And, you know, by the time we got to 5 minutes and Williamson makes that bucket, I go, it's done.
I've always said too, in the NCAA tournament, yes, it's a 40-minute game, but if you're an underdog, or you're a team that's, you know, playing against the heavily favored, it can be a 20. Like, if you can assert yourself and assert your dominance for 25, 30 minutes to get the other team to the point where they start getting tight, like, oh my God, this is, you can win it right there. You can win it for, I thought Loyola won this game in the first 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you get, it's a game of pressure. Like, how can I put pressure on the other team? How can I make them feel? Cause it's just different. It's you can take, and I thought if Illinois, and this is why it's just a game of inches, Illinois got it to six. We kept getting it to six. And I kept telling my fiance, if they can get it to four, if they can just get it to four, cause there's something different about six and four. And six and three. And it's just, that's when things start to shrink a little bit. And, you know, Loyola doesn't feel as confident. And those, the times where they're coming off with a head full of steam off of ball screens, you know, it just, the court looks a little bit more tighter than when it just, because it just felt like everybody was spread out. Mm-hmm. And it was similar to the Baylor game. It was similar to the Michigan State game where guys start getting closer to their guy. And it's like, I'm not going to be the guy that gets backdoored. I'm not going to be the guy that gives up this next basket. And that's hard, man. It puts a lot of pressure on your seven footer to be perfect in ball screens. And I thought it was ultimately, it was ultimately their demise. It's crazy, man. It's crazy sitting here and thinking that this season's over. I had people that hit me up on podcast to come on to podcast next week because, oh, we want you to preview the Sweet 16. I was like,
that was not me. That was not me.
I was like, yeah, it was not. I'll go on record. It was not Jeremy Werner. But there were people that were like, oh, we want you to come preview the Sweet 16. I'm like, Sweet 16? You got like a lot of teams that are in this final or that are in this NCAA tournament. Not many have Final Four experience. That team did.
Yeah, like I want to admit, Mike, like I was on a pod last week and I said, well, it doesn't scare me as much as other people. Just because I go, I think Illinois has to play its worst game. I think even if Curbelo or DeSumo and Coburn struggle a little bit or they're held in check, I go, somebody else will step up. Like that's just been what they've been doing for 2 months. And I was wrong. I was wrong. That team put on a clinic and they forced Frazier and Miller. And Miller had a good game for the most part on offense. And Curbelo did some nice things, 9.7 assists. But I didn't expect him to shut down DeSumo like that, to Frazier have that performance. DeMonte didn't make a bucket. Grandison had a bad game. Like I just didn't expect all of that to happen at the same time because it hasn't really for the last 2 months with this team.
No. No, and I think that's what's different. That's what makes the NCAA tournament different. You know, you can have these games against Michigan State, and you can have these games against Baylor early in the season because you have the luxury of saying, oh, you know, we're young, a lot of season left. You know, even the Michigan State loss, like, man, this sucks, but we punched our ticket. You know, we're in the dance. We're still fighting for a one seed. The Big Ten championship is still out there. The tournament championship's still out there. This is different. Like when you play this way, there's been plenty of teams but Michigan State, Baylor, Maryland was like that. But when you play teams like that, like Illinois at times this season, they didn't show that they were able to really thwart that. You know, and that's what scared me about this game is you couple in the expectations and all that, and it becomes a completely different game. And I saw people on Twitter, well, this is a team that Wisconsin beat. Yeah, Wisconsin plays their style. Just like they play Wisconsin's game. This isn't Illinois' game. And I get they can win. We've said it all year. They can win in different ways. But, you know, I still think that the way that Loyola is so airtight with there's no one to expose defensively. No one. And part of that is they're all great individually defending the ball. And the other is like, they won't let each other get exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big distinction there. There's guys that, yeah, I'm a good defender, right? Like, oh, I'm a good defender. Right? I'm not going to get beat. But are you going to help your guy? Do you feel the same way about your teammate that's next to you? Like, does it hurt you as much when he gets beat as when you get beat?
Right.
And I think that's what Loyola did. And they showed it. Like, that was a team today. And to come in and say that Illinois didn't care about this game and to come in and say that they weren't ready for this game, you're absolutely ready for the game. You have your game plan. You know, you have your player, your All-Americans. You have all of that. Loyola just executed.
Yep.
Like, they executed their game plan better. And that's not a knock on Brad Underwood. That's not a knock on Io DeSumo. Like, that's credit to those guys. Guys that have been there before and guys that have, you know, have been to Final Fours. And that's what you see. I mean, look, if I'm Oklahoma State or Oregon State and I'm watching that game, Cade Cunningham, like whoever ends up playing that team, I mean, I guarantee you Cade Cunningham is not going to look like Cade Cunningham against Loyola. Like it's going to be different. Now, Oklahoma State has different pieces, but you know, the fact still remains, like when you have guys bought in like that, that really lean into how they play and want to execute at a high level and want to play that style, it takes a really, really special, special performance to knock those teams out of the tournament.
Mike, you're great as always, man. I don't think any of us wanted to have this kind of podcast today, but I needed someone who could break down what Loyola did so well, because I give them so much credit for what they did. And it's clear they've been there before, and they seized that moment and knocked Illinois back with a haymaker early, and Illinois could never recover, and they smell blood, and they're dangerous. They're dangerous going to that Sweet 16, and what an amazing accomplishment it would be for Porter to get to, and all those guys, to get to two Final Fours. And I wouldn't doubt him. I wouldn't doubt him.
They can do it at this point. They can do it, man. And I want to thank you for allowing me to come on throughout the season. I don't think you know how much it means to me and to be able to, I mean, I'm sure you can tell, but I love this game,
yeah,
man. Like, I love it. It's what I watch when I wake up in the morning on my laptop on Synergy, and you know, to be able to come and just talk about it and you allowing me the opportunity to do that and has been awesome. It's been so much fun. I'm hoping we can continue to do it in the future. It's crazy. I almost, now we really start shifting to TBT mode.
That's right.
At least for me.
Do you want to fill the people in? Do you got any news on the House of Pain?
I mean, I really want to give away where we're playing, but I don't think I'm allowed to yet.
Gotcha.
But I will say that it will not be Columbus. I'll say that. That's all I can give you. But I will say these guys, you know, for the TBT in general, it's funny. Like, I, you know, everybody who brings me on a podcast wants to say, like, oh, what's the similarities to the TBT? And they sound like, yeah, there's similarities, but I don't ever want to make it seem like what I do is on par with what, you know, the daily things that Brad Underwood has to tackle or Orlando Antigua has to tackle. But we're excited, man. We're going to have a lot of familiar faces back next year. Some new faces that didn't play with us last year that are going to be able to play this year. I will say that one guy for sure that is coming back, and has told me that he is coming back, is Andres Feliz.
Yeah.
So I think people can be happy about that. And then there's just other, you know, there's other guys we're looking at that, you know, that have Illinois ties, that have Brad Underwood ties. I mean, there's a lot there. But I'll probably give it some time, especially for these, especially for some of these guys who are just coming off a loss, just to kind of let it simmer. And then we'll have those conversations.
We're looking forward to that, 'cause that was so great last year. You guys gave us, you know, sports when we didn't have sports, and gave us something to root for when we didn't have something to root for. So looking forward to that, Mike, and thank you. It was our pleasure, man. Like, you don't got to thank me. It was our pleasure to hear from you and to break down the game. You make us smarter with basketball, and you give a player side that we can't give either. So appreciate it all, man. And we will have to do this again next year. And it's great that we have higher expectations and higher goals around Illinois basketball. Right. So Mike, can't thank you enough, man.
All right, man. Take care.
Thank you so much to Michael Tuip. I know you guys enjoyed him all season, and we certainly did, and that's why we've had him on so often, and just felt the need to have him on today, and he texted me back. I'd be a coward if I didn't come on today. So it's a weird day to put a bow on that season, right? And this will mar, you know, the way we think about this team, and that's a shame. Because we also have so many great memories of what this season was. The run they had just had, winning 15 of 16 games, getting back into the top 10 of the rankings for most of the year, getting into the top two, heading into the NCAA tournament, winning the Big Ten tournament championship, I think means a lot for this program. And it's certainly this one bad game does not say Illinois basketball up where they're going to fall all the way back down. But they certainly have their challenges ahead to replace Ayo Dosunmu, potentially Kofi Coburn and Trent Frazier and Damonte Williams. But it just feels like so much promise in the NCAA tournament goes unfulfilled. And again, I hate to repeat myself, but that is the cruelty of a single elimination tournament. And when you're on the other side of it, when you're on the upside of it, the upset side of it, that's where you just, this tournament's fantastic, right? But when you're that favorite, your Kansas is a one seed and you get knocked off by Northern Iowa, all right? Or when you're Duke and you get knocked off by Lehigh, that's the side of it Illinois finds itself on. And Illinois, when it's been a one seed, hasn't had this type of loss. Yeah, you've lost in the Elite Eight. You haven't lost here. And that's really, really unfulfilling. And it's a shame for this team. But you got beat. You got beat. You got outplayed, out-executed, I thought out-hustled. And that's a shame that they'll be remembered that way. And it's a shame that Ayo Dosunmu, probably his worst game of the season, is his final game in an Illini uniform. But it was still, what a career for Io DeSumo. If it's it for Kofi Coburn, what a career for him. Both their jerseys will be in the rafters. And what a career for Damonte Williams and Trent Frazier if they're done as well, to help lead this program back to relevance and back to Big Ten prominence. And with guys like Curbelo, Adam Miller as part of this future, you know, Jacob Grandison will be back. Coleman Hawkins will be a big part of this. Maybe Kofi comes back, and if he does, look out next year. Then you got to take advantage of this on the recruiting trail as well. And I don't think this one loss will crush them on the recruiting trail. They have a lot of irons in the fire. Now it's time to land them, reload, and then make your next run. Because you never know. Maybe it's that 5-seed Illini that makes a trip to the Sweet 16 or makes a deep run. Maybe it's a 3-seed Illini in a year or two that makes a really, really deep run. But I think this program's here to stay. And it was a fun season. It was a really fun season to cover. And I can tell you this much. It was a fun team and personalities and players and coaching staff to cover. And I do want to thank Illinois for all the access they gave us in this odd year of coverage where we didn't get to see these people face-to-face. Io DeSumo is A-plus with us. He's a pro already when it comes to that. Kofi Coburn, Andre Curbelo, Adam Miller, Georgie Bashanishvili, of course. Trent Frazier is a pro at this. And of course, Brad Underwood, letting us know more about his team. So thank you to them. And thank you to all you guys for reading us, listening to us, subscribing to us, most of all. This was by far the most memorable and enjoyable year of covering Illinois basketball by far for Derek Piper and I, and now adding Joey Wagner to the team. I hope we gave you the coverage that you Illini fans and all the passion that you deserve. So thank you for coming along this journey with us. It was a fun journey for the most part, but no fairy tale ending for this team, sadly, for all you Illini supporters. But there's a lot to cover coming up, whether it's the aftermath of all this or a busy, busy offseason of roster building for Brad Underwood. We, of course, will be all over it at Illini Inquirer. Got to take a quick breath, and then we'll reload and start all that coverage as well. And, of course, spring football right around the corner, now unencumbered by Illinois basketball, sadly, but we'll be all over that as well. If you haven't already, subscribe to us, rate us, review us, wherever you get your podcast. Everybody, have a good day. I know it won't be a great day for you, but have a good day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.